B-Pod Studios.
Today on Talkin' Rock with Meltdown.
Comedian Brian Posehn has a new record out called Grandpa Metal. Tons of guests on it. And of course, this guy always struck me as like a rocker trapped in a comedian's body.
Absolutely, yeah. You've always heard that, you know, the guys that tell jokes but wanted to be, you know, rock stars. And
speaking of guests, the late Jill Janis has a cameo on the album on the cover of A-ha's Take On Me, which he had to make more metal.
I'm so stoked with the way, that's the way that song always sounded in my head.
He tells me about some guests he couldn't get on the record due to scheduling and other issues. And how hard is it to write a song about penises?
Surprisingly easy for me. It might be hard for a smarter person.
Comedian Brian Posehn is my guest today on Talkin' Rock.
This is Talkin' Rock. Talkin' Rock. Your backstage pass to some of your favorite rock artists. Here's your host, Meltdown.
As always, thanks so much for checking out the Talkin' Rock with Meltdown podcast on the Google Room for you today. This is one of those funny ones here. I love those. You know, some musicians are funnier than others. And of course, when you talk to a comedian, you expect to laugh a little bit.
You expect it.
Yeah, so we'll see what happens with Brian Posehn coming up here. Al Beck is over there really offering nothing to the conversation
doing
right now.
As little as possible.
Exactly, which is what you're going to be doing during rock news, because that's what you do. No follow-up questions, of course.
Well, it took a year at least to establish that rule.
So anyways, we've got a lot of rock news coming up here in a little bit. We'll talk news on Ozzy and his tour cancellations.
Mm-hmm. A couple of shows got canceled.
More than a couple. The guys from Metallica also canceling some shows. We'll talk about that. A band given a large amount to a charity. 25th anniversary tour and album coming out from a band as well. Something interesting happened at a Mr. Bungle concert. Have you ever heard of something like this happening before?
Interesting at a Mr. Bungle concert?
This particular incident.
No. Well, maybe a thing or two.
You know, I met Mike, what's his name?
Mike Patton?
Mike Patton. I met him once before. People ask me all the time, they're like, people, I don't know why people want to ask this up, but who are like the biggest jerks you've ever met? They never say who are the nice people, which I've talked about, you know. And Mike Patton's up on that list.
Is he?
Yeah. I love his music. I think he's super creative. I really liked Faith No More, and I still do. But it's like, I don't know. I met him for the first time when he was doing the Metallica Guns N' Roses tour back in 1992. And he came through town. I want to say it was a couple days before the show or whatever it was. And, you know, it's 4:30 in the afternoon. And I'm asking him about that famous incident, which had just taken place recently on Saturday Night Live. Do you remember when they were playing and he started climbing into like this big fan on stage? Do you remember that?
Sure. Yeah, vaguely.
You can YouTube it. It's right there. And he's like, they're playing and he's climbing in this fan. And, you know, it's just kind of this moment on Saturday Night Live as far as the musical acts are concerned. And so anyways, I asked him about Saturday Night Live. I'm like, hey, you know, tell me about that experience. And like I said, this is 4:30 in the afternoon. And he's like, yeah, well, we're getting ready to play. And what's the guy from the guy who was in the Roseanne show, The Dad?
Oh, John Goodman.
Yeah, John Goodman. Yeah. He goes, yeah, so John Goodman's the host, the guest. And all I want to do is take a crap, is all he didn't say that, on his silver platter and set it over to. I'm like, dude, it's like 4:30 in the afternoon, okay? What do you have against John Goodman? You know what I'm saying?
Who has anything against John Goodman?
I know, and I didn't really understand that. And it was like, I don't know, I just, you know, listen, this is like 30 years ago, 28 years ago, whatever. I mean, I'll give the guy the benefit of the doubt now, but it's like, it was just like, really, dude, you got to be like that.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, I think we've all met someone, you know, a lot of people you meet are cool.
Yeah, a lot.
And I've interviewed a guy, I'm not even going to say who it was, but I interviewed a guy who was listening to a baseball game in one ear while I was trying to talk to him.
Yeah, no, yeah, I haven't had that. But I have interviewed, like, for example, I'll spit it out. I'm interviewing Jason Hook from Five Finger Death Punch just like 5-6 years ago. And he's packing to go on tour. It's like, hey, could you stop for like 10 minutes?
Right.
You know, and kind of pay attention. So anyhow, I mean, it's just me, though. You don't need to pay attention to me.
Who does? I rarely do.
No. Yeah, you and my wife or my kids and everybody else. So anyway, so yeah, Al Beck is coming up here with your rock news here in just a little bit. In the meantime, let's talk to Brian. You there, bro?
Yeah, hey, how's it going?
Good, man. I was just waiting for your call, and I'm punching in all these concert dates we have coming up this year. I don't know where you are, but man, there's a lot of tours this year, eh?
Yeah, I'm going to miss him. And then Ozzy just canceled. That's the one that That's a gut punch.
I'll tell you,
I've had tickets for 3 years now to see him.
Wow. Yeah, I was supposed to meet Ozzy like 7 times before the first time I met him back in like the late 90s. So I feel your pain. He's like one of my favorites. I guess I've talked about this before, but like Crazy Train was a song that kind of changed my life. What was the song for you?
Killers, Iron Maiden.
Okay.
That's like when I first, like, that was the heaviest thing I'd ever heard at that point. And, you know, and I just got into heavier and heavier music right then.
Yeah. Yeah. So you're probably a little bit on the heavier side than I am. I guess, you know, I'm the Pantera, Black Sabbath, Maiden, that kind of thing.
Oh, I love that too. I love Pantera. Yeah.
Right. Of course. Yeah. How many times do you have a chance to hang out with Diamond VP?
I did, luckily. I met Dime a couple times, but became friends after he passed, you know, with Vinny. And just what a tragic story, that whole, the way that band, their story ends up is just brutal.
Yeah, it is horrible. I became friends with Vinny, you know, when he signed down with Hell Yeah and stuff. And I kind of knew him a little bit before that, but I really became friends with him. And man, that was, and of course, you're a hockey fan, aren't you?
No. I mean, I've been to games, but not really, no.
Okay, because, yeah, that was kind of our love and our connection that we had was we used to text about hockey all the time. But so anyways, right. I mean, you know, just looking at you, you kind of strike me as one of these guys who's like a rocker trapped in a comedian's body. Does that kind of peg you or what?
Absolutely, yeah. You've always heard that, you know, the guys that tell jokes but wanted to be, you know, rock stars and, you know, and then the opposite, because I've definitely known band guys that wish they were funny too, or funnier, you know, or actually are funny, but,
right,
you know, the guys that wish they might have done a different route.
Yeah. Who are some of the funniest rockers you know?
Well, Maynard from Tool is out of his mind. Kirk from Metallica is a funny guy, smart guy. Scott Ian, I mean, well, you know, the fact I knew he was funny because he had written lyrics for, you know, Stormtroopers of Death. Anybody that could do that as a teenager, you know, so those are the main ones.
I'll tell you what, you know, I know Scott a little bit. One of my friends is his lawyer and a good friend of his out here in Detroit. But that spoken word thing he did, I saw it here in Detroit a few years back, and it was really good. He was on stage for like 2 hours just telling stories, and it was intriguing and engaging, you know?
Yeah, man, and he knows the funny part of the story, how to get to it, and I love that live show, and he and I are talking about doing like a hybrid version of that where we both go out and tell our stories and then end up the show with, you know, by playing songs from our album. We did it on the Megadeth cruise, and that's something we want to do down the road.
Yeah, it's got to be a thrill for you to do stuff like that, growing up listening to those guys and, you know, and being fans and doing all these metal cruises and all these metal shows and
Absolutely.
Different things.
Yeah, and it's a nice break from, you know, just going out and yelling my fart jokes in a comedy club that's in a mini mall somewhere. You know, that's my life, but it's also, it can get old, and to have any kind of deviate, like, I love to stay busy, and that's why this project came about, is just for me. I can't, when I'm home and I'm not on the road, I can't just sit in my office and not do anything. So I you know, there's comic books, there's, you know, like, what other comics decide to do a full metal comedy record? But it's just, I was bored, or can't be bored, you know?
Right. So when do you wake up one day and decide, you know what, that Aha song is just not metal enough, and we've got to do something about that? When does that strike you?
Well, I've felt that way since I've heard the song. But actually being able to get my friends together, it's only a couple of years. So we, you know, that was one of the songs during the process. I was like, hey, let's do that. And then so Brendan Small, you know, arranged it for Metalocalypse, and he's the one who made it, you know, made that song metal for me. And then, you know, adding these other vocals in and calling in some favors.
Yeah.
I'm so stoked with the way that's the way that song always sounded in my head, you know. Now everybody else gets to hear it.
How did the video look in your head?
Well, that's the thing. I mean, I can't do the video now. Jill's gone. You know, we lost my friend Jill from Huntress. I was always going to shoot that, and I actually have footage of Zetro and Chuck Billy singing in the studio, but I don't have anything of Jill. So the idea of doing a video without her being visually represented, I'm not even going to tackle it.
Yeah. I was going to say, my friend Jay Rustin mixed this record, and he told me that was really hard to mix her parts.
Yeah. What do you mean?
Like emotionally.
Emotionally?
Yeah.
Yeah, man. You know, I got her vocals while I was sharing it. It's the weirdest thing. Like, I was on the road, and I was playing that song for my manager, like, so proud of it, going, hey, this, you know, wait till you hear this girl. She kills it. And then I got the text while I was playing the song to my buddy that she was dead. And I was just like, dude, that girl I'm just telling you about, she's gone. And like, it's awful. It's an awful feeling. And 2 years later, you know, I wish we could sing it live, you know, and it's a gut punch that we'll never be able to do that. But, you know, but also I'm super proud that now people get to hear, you know, people that don't know what a badass she was.
Yeah, no, that's it probably is going to open up a whole new world of fans to what she did. Of course, you know, Kim Thalesen, Scott Ian, like you're just talking about. I mean, you got so many people, and I always ask this of people that get like guest stars on records, but is there anybody that you wanted that just couldn't do it or for whatever reason didn't do it?
Yeah, a couple. And then hopefully I'll do another one. So Kirk Hammett, just timing-wise, wasn't able to do it. And I think now, once he hears Grandpa Metal and how much Kim Thayil wound up crushing it, that might be an incentive for him to do the next one. You know, and then we didn't get John Five or Nita Strauss because of timing schedules. And I'd love to get either one of them to do a solo on the next record, or both.
Yeah, John Five's a friend. He was just in the studio with me here last week, you know. And besides, you know, now that Kirk Hammett, he's going to see what kind of success this was, and he really needs a little boost to his career.
Oh, yeah, no kidding.
So he'll be on board for sure next time.
Well, no, but it's really because he and Scott are, like, best pals.
Right.
You know, and I thought it would be good to get him on a song making fun of Scott.
But, that's right.
they won't be the last one, so maybe he will, that Metallica thing.
Yeah, if it ever falls
maybe
apart, you know.
Yeah. He needs a new day job.
Hey, so how hard is it to write like a compelling penis song? Like, how difficult is that?
Surprisingly easy for me. Like, it might be hard. It might be hard for a smarter person, but for me, that was the one on the record where I wrote it with a friend. I wrote it with Joe Troman, and we just said, like, hey, man, let's just write the dumbest song about genitals ever done, you know, and it's a high bar,
right?
You know, of if you've listened to Kiss, you've heard some ridiculous lyrics,
of course,
about wieners,
right.
and AC/DC and Aerosmith, you know, there's 10-inch record, there's
right.
Big Balls, and all these classic songs that I was trying to outdo on the dumb scale. Like, let's be dumber than Aerosmith and Kiss and AC/DC thrown in a blender.
Even like a Weenie Ride or anything from Steel Panther, right?
Yeah, well, that was the other thing. It was like, hey, man, let's write a song that Steel Panther would go, nah, that's too dumb.
Now, Michael Starr, he makes a little appearance on the record, right?
Yeah, those guys are pals. Yeah. I mean, I've been friends with them forever. I shot their video, Death to All But Metal.
That's right, that's right. Yeah,
I directed that like 12 years ago.
Sarah Silverman, right? Sarah Silverman's in that video, right?
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. I'm always calling in favors.
Yeah.
So that was a thing, and we've been buddies a long time. And Russ did a solo on when I covered The Gambler. Satchel, the guitar player.
Yep.
So I mean, we've been pals going back, and they played my 40th birthday, which I'm not even close to 40.
Right.
We've been friends a long time is what I'm saying.
Yeah, so that's cool. Hey, a couple more things here before I know this is your last interview and you got to get moving. How often do you get recognized and people are like, where do I know you from?
Well, that happens a lot less because of things like Big Bang Theory.
Okay, so yeah, that's right. That's true, yeah.
that's the one where now, you know, and then also, you know, just being around as long and being on shows like Conan O'Brien, where they actually say your name.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people now know my name or come up and go, "Hey, are you Brian?" As opposed to, "Hey, are you that guy?" For that forever, though, I was that guy, like especially in the Just Shoot Me days, you know, the end of the 90s, where I was on a million other sitcoms, too. And people might not be able to, "Hey, that dude looks like Beaker, but in real life, like, who's that guy?" I know that guy. And, you know, I actually had somebody, I overheard this woman was so excited to see me. She was like, "Hey, honey," to her husband, "that guy is that guy." And she was right. I was totally that guy.
You've always been that guy. Well, I'll yeah. tell you what, good luck with the record. My friend Don Jameson says he's going to be buying the record. He says he's happy. There's two metal records out already, two metal comedy records in 2020. Of course, his is coming out as well. And he wishes you nothing but the best, too. But so, hey, next time you come through Detroit, you got to take a swing by and do this in person, okay?
For sure.
In Detroit Rock City, you've probably heard that song.
Yes. It's that was my first song, man. That's the one.
Yeah.
That's the one that made me love heavy music for the rest of my life.
Yeah. I mean, Kiss, have you seen him on this final tour, by the way?
I have, and I'm going in a couple of weeks with some of my biggest Jackass friends, so it's going to be a blast. I can't wait.
Well, have fun with that, and good luck on this record and everything else you have going on. Brian, thanks so much for the time, man.
Thank you. Have a great day. Thanks, man.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
All right, Al Beck joins us here with Rock News. Are you a Brian Posehn fan?
I am a Brian Posehn fan, yeah.
He's a good guy, man. I never had a chance to talk to him or interview him before. Now I want to hang out with the guy.
Yeah? Well, be ready to smoke some weed with him.
Well, you know what? I was going to ask about that. Apparently, he quit like in 2011.
Really?
That's what it said in his biography there.
No kidding, because I've heard him tell stories about how many times he'd run into fans after a stand-up show or something,
yeah.
And they'd offer him weed, and he's just like, "I always do it."
Yeah, right. Right, exactly.
He's like, "I know it's dumb, but I always do it."
No, I should have asked him about that, but I don't know. I'm not exactly sure. But anyway, so how's things with you, man?
They're going good, man.
Did you, we're actually recording this the day after the Daytona 500. That crash was just ridiculous.
That's insane. Yeah, we were watching it just now before we started recording. Yeah.
And I was watching it last night, and I was so excited when Ryan Newman, like, made the pass because I like anybody that drives an American car, and I didn't want to see the Toyota win. And so it's like, and I love Joe Gibbs. He's great, too. And Denny Hamlin's always been nice to me. But it's like as soon as he passed him on the back straight, I'm like, yes, go Ryan, because I've talked to him before, too. And man, that was a nasty crash. So thoughts and prayers are with him. They say a serious condition, but nothing life-threatening, which is great. I hope he gets in the race car again. We'll see what happens.
Yeah, we'll see.
That was pretty nasty. So anyways, Rock News here with Al Beck. And as Brian was talking about, a big bummer, man. No Ozzy tour.
Yeah.
North America. Here.
Speaking of dudes who are in kind of rough shape, I mean, Ozzy had rescheduled some tour dates and everything, but now he's had to cancel the No Tours 2 dates that he rescheduled at this point. He's obviously undergoing some treatments still, and that starts up in April, and it's like 6 to 8 weeks long, the treatment. So he basically wanted to get out in front of it. He didn't want to cancel dates at the last minute. So he just figured, you know what, let's just play it safe. We're going to have to postpone stuff. But obviously he thanks fans for all the patience and understanding that he's been receiving, because this last year has been obviously pretty terrible for him.
I don't know if he's going to tour again.
He might not.
That might be my guess. I'm not sure if he's going to.
Yeah.
I mean, I have nothing to base that on other than just, you know, I mean, how much longer can he go? It's like, as I was telling Brian, it's like I was supposed to meet Ozzy 6 or 7, maybe even 8 times before I met him for the first time, because he canceled tours, he's sick, canceled meet and greets, you know, just all sorts of different stuff. And this was in the 90s.
Yeah.
And now it's like 2020 and you're canceling tours.
Yeah.
So, and you know what? To be honest, Ozzy doesn't owe any of us anything. I mean, he's done it all.
Yeah, and he's like, and he's always been one of those really generous guys too, like a good meet and greet guy. So I mean, when he is out there, he's like, he's really good to his fans and stuff. So.
Well, last time he did a meet and greet, of course, you know, you paid to meet the guy, so he better be good. So.
Hey, there are some guys that even at a paid meet and greet aren't very friendly. So.
Yeah, I could imagine. I'll be honest, I cannot wait for this record. I've already ordered my vinyl copy of it, and so far the songs I've heard I've really liked, except for the defecate.
The defecate.
Yeah, that still bothers me a lot.
It's not even that the song is bad. It's just a really weird line that stands out.
Yeah, the song is okay, but it's like, whoa, yeah. Back up for 1 second. What's this defecating stuff?
I know, and I'm like, where my office is, I'll be working on stuff after the morning show, and you know, like there's a speaker out there, but it's like, it's all just sort of muffled. The song's in the back. Yeah. Make you defecate.
I know. Yeah, the line just sticks out.
It does. It really
does.
What's
wrong with this line? But a lot of great guests on this record, including Slash and Chad Smith and guys like that. Elton John, of course, on the title track. But I cannot wait to put this thing on and check it out. So we'll see what happens with Ozzy coming up here in the future. Another guy we talked about with Brian here, of course, Kirk Hammett and his band Metallica. And, you know, as I was saying with Brian, these guys really need something to really prop up their career. They need something to do. So,
yeah. So they've never done anything.
No, it's like, what's going on with these guys?
Yeah. So. But anyway, so Metallica recently announced their second annual All Within My Helping Hands concert, which is a charity show that they do at the Masonic in San Francisco. Now, that was scheduled for March 28th, but they have now pushed that back, saying they, quote, need to get their shit together.
Right.
So obviously, I'm guessing that has to do with, you know, James was just in rehab. He's made his first appearance publicly since then, you know, at the opening of that car exhibit, which has some of his collection in it. But they did reschedule it. It's not a cancellation. September 12th, they're now going to be doing this in San Francisco.
Well, maybe it's maybe Kirk and Robert have some sort of like, wakeboarding competition.
Sure.
Something. We don't know. We don't know what could happen.
Could be it. It's probably that, not the rehab.
Right, exactly. You don't know.
Yeah.
So, well, good. Well, hoping to get the guys from Metallica back. And let's see, their record came out in 2016. Well, the way Metallica works, we're not due for another record for another 3 or 4 years. But it would be nice to hear some new stuff coming up soon. Speaking of bands on tour, they're putting a band back together, Rage Against the Machine. You know, I did a thing with Tom Morello about a year, just a little bit over a year ago. And I can't remember if it was before or after. But I did this thing on stage with him for like an hour and a half. It was awesome. And he was just like, he'd play his guitar and tell stories and different things. And I had him for like, we were waiting to go out there. I think it was before. And we're waiting to go out there on stage. It's just me and him. And I said, hey, what's up with Rage, man? Why won't you guys go back? He goes, well, it's just one guy.
Yeah.
And that was the sticking point. And it was Zach. But now those guys have reformed. They got the band back together. And I don't know how the show is doing outside of Southeast Michigan here. But here in Detroit, the show sold out so fast. They're putting our date up. So.
Yeah.
But anyways, they're raising money for charity, too.
Yeah, and that's the other thing about Rage Against the Machine. Obviously, the whole band is based on a cause, you know. But, dude, they have raised $3 million for charity with special ticket sales. Mm. And they were selling out so quick. I mean, I knew people who were trying to buy the Detroit show. And it was like the second show was announced as it was going on sale. People, you know, like got burnt on the first show and then we were able to get second show tickets or something.
Yeah. And those guys were trying to do something special so that scalpers couldn't really make money off their tickets.
Yeah. There was like a text-in thing or whatever. Yeah. And there was a whole process. So.
Yeah. Those scalpers, man. I'll tell you what. That's such a bummer when you have to, you know, deal with that kind of nonsense,
yeah,
too. So. Moving on here, Foo Fighters, speaking of tours, they've decided they're going to put on a 25th anniversary tour, maybe some new music and everything, eh?
Yeah, so there's not a lot of tour dates announced right now. As a matter of fact, we don't even have anything in Detroit. We've got, and they're going to be playing Grand Rapids in May at Van Andel. But, yeah, they've got a handful of dates for the 25th anniversary. But we also heard about this new album, and last I'd heard, they said that the album was actually done.
Hmm.
So we had reports from Dave Grohl. So I'm sure more tour dates will be announced down the road here.
What a great band it is to see live. And it's like, you want to talk about a hit machine? It's like they could play an hour and a half, 2 hours of just nothing but the hits. And it's like, you know, and then they throw in some extra stuff. And Dave's always doing stuff on stage. So great band to see live. Dave never leaves the stage.
No. You know? And they play for like 3 hours.
Yeah.
Like you get your money's worth out of a Foo Fighters show.
There's no question about it. I always wondered about that, too. It's like, you know, you got five guys up there. So, you know, what if this guy's just having a bad day, doesn't feel good, or he's got a piss or something? It's like, you know, I always wondered about that. There must be some sort of like visual cues these guys give each other. Like, hey, dude, I got to run the bathroom real fast.
Right.
Keep that drum solo going a little bit longer.
Right. Tonight. Oh, yeah, during the drum solo or something. But
I was watching his documentary.
Stadium pal.
Yeah, right. His stadium pal. Yeah. For those that don't know, that's the thing you can pee and you put in your sock or something.
No,
that's not good. Yeah, you're out there playing. Next thing you know, it's like, why is his pants leaking by his feet?
Beware of the rock star kick.
Yeah, the rock star kick. I was watching this documentary on Rush over the weekend, which I've seen before, different ones and not. I can't remember this one aired on TV. I have a feeling I've watched some of the clips before, but Taylor Hawkins was a big one, you know, talking about, Rush and how much he really admired them and stuff, too. And, of course, you know, Taylor Hawkins is a completely different animal and a different beast than Neil Peart ever was. And so is Dave Grohl, for that matter. But you can tell those guys were really, you know, hugely influenced by Rush, as many of those guys were. Bands with members over the age of 40, most of them have probably been, you know, somewhat, you know, influenced by Rush, whether they play that kind of music or not.
Yeah.
You know, so speaking of that, let's do the Wayne's World thing here since it's celebrating an anniversary. And I guess it was 30 years ago this week that Wayne's World saw the light of day in their basement there at the outskirts of Chicago.
That's right, man. February 17th, 1990 was the first time that we ever saw Wayne's World, which, of course, at the time was a Saturday Night Live sketch with Dana Carvey and Mike Myers. They've had Aerosmith on this.
I think Aerosmith was the first one.
It was.
Yeah.
It was Aerosmith who joined them on that first episode. And, of course, like almost to the date, 2 years later, we saw the first Wayne's World movie come out.
Yeah, and then let's see, that one came out, and I'll never forget that scene with Harry Shearer, which might be in the second one. I can't remember. He was playing the DJ, and he wasn't really paying attention. I'm just like, and that's when they're like, Sphincter says what, or whatever, you know, and he was like, just like, you know, not paying attention and just, you know, mixing up the carts and doing all this stuff, you know, like typical DJ or whatever.
Uh-huh.
There you go. Just like that. And so anyways,
that's what I do in here.
That's right. Yeah. Just pretend to pay attention. So, and finally here we got some news as far as Mr. Bungle is concerned. And I thought this was somewhat interesting. So go ahead. Tell us about what happened on stage with those guys the other day.
So I guess Mr. Bungle had gone out on tour, started playing some shows for the first time in 20 years. And that there was one dude in particular, super excited about that. Bought his tickets. Unfortunately, passed away before the show. However, he did still make it to the show. His buddies brought him along in form of ashes in the urn. Well, here was the thing, though. They made sure that he made his way on the stage when they wrapped his ashes up in his underwear and threw it up on stage with Mr. Bungle.
And I guess the urn crashed and ashes went flying anywhere. We have some actual audio of the actual event.
Sure, let's roll it.
We commit your final mortal remains to the bosom of the Pacific Ocean.
Yeah. I thought it would be louder
which
there.
Which you love so well.
So.
Good night, sweet prince.
Yeah, I thought the band would be playing and stuff, but apparently it wasn't.
Paying some respect.
Oh, my God. I love that scene for the Big Lebowski. Yeah. Oh, man. That is so funny. Great stuff. So.
Yeah.
Anyways, yeah, Mr. Bungle, a lot of people are craving and wanting to check out that show. And just announced.
Please leave your dead at home, though.
Yeah, right. And just announced today, I don't know if you saw this, Korn touring with Faith No More this year.
Yeah, I just saw that.
So
yeah.
I was just telling Brian, it's like, man, there's so many concerts. It's like, I don't even know when I'm supposed to take vacation. It's like, I'm going to look at the calendar and see what's going on here.
Dude, it's like we're getting ready for the Rockpocalypse or something, man, this year. It's like every
so
show.
So many tours. I mean, we had a lot of concerts come through our area last year, but this year's more.
Yeah.
It's like, we just keep announcing concerts.
Yeah.
So that's a killer. So anyways, what else you got? Anything?
No, that's it. But I guess I will. I just saw an interview just recently with Klaus from Scorpions.
Yeah.
Just speaking of this Mr. Bungle thing, some crazy things thrown up on stage. They asked him what the craziest thing that happened to them on stage was. And some fans at a show years ago threw actual live Scorpions on the stage. With,
oh,
the Scorpions,
my God.
Can you imagine?
What a great idea.
Venomous.
Oh, man.
But I just the Bungle thing. I saw that earlier today. That Bungle thing made me think of that. So I don't know. Which one would you rather have? A dead man's ashes or a scorpion thrown at you?
Oh, man.
It's
I
a
remember.
Tough call.
You know, there's always that obvious, like, hack question. It's like, okay, give me a Spinal Tap moment when you're on stage, right? And I remember Bruce Dickinson one time telling me that he ripped his trousers, as he called them, and his balls were hanging out. And he couldn't believe what the fans were, like, you know, pointing or whatever.
Yeah,
I felt a little breeze down there and, you know, stuff like that. Yeah. But, yeah.
Hopefully it's not a scorpion show.
I'm just trying to think here to myself right now. What if people threw what the band's name was on stage every time?
Yeah.
You know, like, for example, maybe the Black Keys are throwing, like, piano Black Keys on the stage. Yeah. Or, I can't think of Black Sabbath, like just Black Sundays. I don't know. Just so we'll have people tell us which ones they should send up on stage.
Yeah.
Like Kiss. Oh, I can't throw Kisses. No, I guess you could. That'd be kind of weird.
Yeah.
All right.
Grab Ted Nugent off the stage and throw him back on.
That's right. Exactly. So, all right, we're done.
That's right. Al Beck Radio, Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.
All right. At Meltdown WRIF, thanks so much for joining me. I'm scheduled to talk with Ross the Boss this week for Manowar. Mm-hmm. And also Don Jameson, he's got a record coming out this week. And of course, with the same Judas Priest kind of vibe to it and a theme. We'll get into that with Don coming up this week. And I think I got some more. I'm reading this book right now, and it's called Raising Hell. And it's by this guy called John Wiederhorn. And it's really cool because it's got all these separate sections. I'm only about halfway through right now, but it's got the section where, you know, drugs and alcohol, the section with like occult stuff, and a section with like groupies. And it's got like, you know, a paragraph or two from all sorts of different rock stars, from Dave Ellefson to Ozzy to all sorts of stuff. So I'm going to be talking to this guy coming up here in the future. And it's a really interesting book. And I was kind of surprised at like how many people. Some of these people would throw people under the bus. Like, I think I want to say it was Sam Rivers, I think, from Limp Bizkit, talking about doing drugs with like Justin Chancellor from Tool. It's like, wait a minute, did he say that was okay to say, or, you know, whatever? I think that's what it was. Did you know that Sam Rivers from Limp Bizkit, I read this in a book, had a liver transplant?
No, I did not know that.
Yeah, I mean, I don't keep up on my Limp Bizkit news,
right.
But it's like he drank so much he'd have a liver transplant.
Also, I don't want to see a bunch of Limp Bizkits thrown on stage either.
That is true. On that note, thanks so much for checking out Talking Rock with Meltdown. We'll do it all over again soon.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.